needhim.org.
In Mark 8:36, Jesus gives a clear warning to a crowd of followers about any who would choose wealth over him. He says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Well, this message may be especially troubling today since we live in the wealthiest nation in history. First up, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West applies that verse to life in America. Then it's your financial calls on any topic at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Are the rich heartless? We'll explore that question today right here on MoneyWise Live. All right, Rob, we should give credit first here to Dr. Lloyd Kim, Coordinator of Missions to the World for the PCA denomination, who wrote on this recently, and we reflected on his notes. Christians should do the occasional gut check about how we're using God's resources, don't you think?
Well, there's no question about that, Steve. But at the same time, we need to point out that there's nothing inherently immoral about wealth. Money is simply a tool that can be used for good or evil. At the same time, there's nothing inherently virtuous about being poor. We won't be judged on how much or how little money we have, but we will have to answer someday for how we used God's money, the idea behind stewardship. The danger is when we forget that it's all God's money and we are simply caretakers or managers.
Okay. But there does seem to be a prevailing theme in our culture today that the rich are somewhat heartless. It's pervasive in the entertainment media and elsewhere. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's just another example of how the world's thinking differs from God's. Jesus talked about money a lot during his earthly ministry, but the only wealthy people he called out were those who came by riches dishonestly, such as the Pharisees, who operated a corrupt system. Our resident economist, if you will, Jerry Boyer, points that out often when he joins us. In his article, though, Dr. Kim rightly points out that being wealthy is not a sin and that having a lot of resources can be used to bless many who are less fortunate. But he also warns that wealth may cause us to go astray in very specific ways. Kim cites 1 Timothy 6. Paul reveals two of these ways. He says wealth can make us prideful, and it can cause us to put our faith in it rather than God. Pride certainly separates us from God, but it also separates us from our fellow man. It makes us think we're more important than others, and the proof is that we have more. We're richer, smarter, and more favored than those around us, perhaps we might believe. Throughout Scripture, Steve, God warns us that earthly wealth is a fleeting thing. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. You see, we all long for peace and security, but looking to wealth to provide it instead of the Lord will only lead to bitter disappointment. To paraphrase Jesus, I would say, all the money in the world can't save your soul.
Yeah, well, amen to that. So how do we avoid that temptation?
Yeah, well, going back to Dr. Kim's article, he says, and I couldn't agree with him more, it's simply to put our hope in God, who is always faithful and has promised to meet our every need, not just here and now, but for all eternity. God is the true source of our security, no matter how much money we have. But make no mistake, Steve, God wants us to enjoy his blessings. There's nothing wrong in that. But we must also recognize the real reason he entrusts to us, perhaps in abundance, and that's to glorify him, to draw others to him and to advance his kingdom. And that opportunity is not only for the wealthy. Remember the widow's mite, Luke 21. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow who put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this widow has put in more than all of them." But there's no doubt that the wealth we enjoy in America gives us a unique opportunity to be generous and to further God's kingdom.
Yeah. All right. So my question still is, Are the rich heartless?
And I would say as a group, no, they're not. And we should point out that a culture that supposedly hates stereotypes certainly uses a lot of them. Dr. Kim's article was in response to a book written by avowed socialist Christopher Ryan. The book is called Civilized to Death, The Price of Progress. It argues stereotypically that wealthy people as a group are indifferent to the plight of others, even going as far as to say that people driving expensive cars won't stop to allow an elderly woman with a cane to cross the street.
Yeah, well, obviously that's kind of silly. And well, we'll come back and put a bow on this. But first, we have to pause and take a break. If you're just tuning in, it's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. To give us a call, and we wish you would, 800-525-7000.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
For 30 years, Sound Mind Investing has been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
23 years ago, a 19-day-old baby was abducted from a New York hospital. That baby grew to adulthood. While growing up, she didn't feel she was where she really belonged. She became curious. One day, viewing pictures on a missing persons website, Carlina White recognized a photo. It was her baby picture. She contacted the mother, who posted the photograph. DNA tests confirmed their relationship. Carlina and her biological mother have been reunited. Every year, millions of people around the world draw a similar conclusion. They sense the life they've been living isn't the one they should be living. Have you often felt there's something more? According to the Bible, that's God's invitation. You were born to belong in His family. Whatever life you've been living up to now, God invites you to something better. He wants you to seek His forgiveness for your sin and join the family where you really belong. He wants you to come home. We'd like to help you find the way. Call 888-NEED-HIM. You can chat with us live or download a free Bible at needhim.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Really great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. That guy there, he's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Here's our phone number, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question on any specific topic, well, give us a call. That's why we're here. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Rob, our Facebook question of the day is related to our conversation here. How have you overcome temptation to seek wealth over faith? Sharon responded, being content with what the Lord has given me. Sandy says, I've prayed and cried a lot. Patrick says, remaining aware that it's God's, not mine, and giving prayerfully. Giving as a proportion and increasing that percentage as income increases. And we would applaud all of those responses. It's just getting Christians to actually give this concept and this question some serious thought. How should Christians really think about wealth, whether you have lots of it or don't have a whole lot of it? What is that answer, Rob? How should Christians think and view wealth?
Yeah, well, it's got to start with this recognition that God owns it all and that we're his managers, we're his trustees or caretakers, and we all need to find ourselves on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do with the resources you've entrusted to me, however little or much? Remember, it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of money. So it's about a heart condition, and are we using God's resources to glorify him? Because if that's our aim and objective, and we see money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, I think it's going to cause us to live differently than the world. It's not about raising our standard of living. It should be providing and living with contentment, enjoying, but then also looking to raise our standard of giving so we can give back and meet the needs of those around us and actively participate in the work that God's doing around the world. I think we need to understand, Steve, that God's given us most of these resources for a reason, and that's beyond just supporting our families. It's to advance his kingdom. You know, the late Larry Burkett often said that if all Christians in America only tithed, and I don't think that's the ending point. I think it's the beginning point. But if they just tithed, the Great Commission could be fulfilled in short order. So I think the question for each of us to ask is, what lifestyle has God called me to? He doesn't tell us specifically in his word we should live on X percent of our income. He leaves that up to us to approach his throne prayerfully. And I think we should do that. But we need to be careful not to slip into greed. I love what Tim Keller, a pastor and author, says. He says he's had every sin confessed in his office save one, and that's the sin of greed. And I think we have a tendency to attempt to try to redeem the sin of greed in the name of the American dream. Well, we're supposed to strive for more and bigger and better is the way it should be. And I don't think that's always the case. And so I think for each of us, we need to think deeply and prayerfully about what God has called us to. How should we live? And how do we hold everything we have loosely?
Well said, Rob. Thank you very much for that. And we all need to pray that prayer and give this serious consideration on a daily basis, because it's something that we all are capable of slipping into, greed, and not really knowing and understanding. Something else Larry Burkett used to say a lot of, and that is every Christian should ask themselves at least once a year, how much is enough? Just because your storehouse is getting more full doesn't necessarily mean that you're dependent on yourself. If God is continuing to bless you and give you more than you need, perhaps it's for a purpose outside just your own household. Okay, here's our phone number, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Forest, Indiana, WGNR, our station there. And Eva, what's on your mind? How can we help you?
I'm just curious, do you think God will judge America if we don't share our wealth, given that we're so wealthy and people in Africa are starving to death?
Yeah. Well, Eva, there's no question this nation has been blessed with an abundance, and we do have more than we need. And we all, most of people listening to this program right now, if they were to take a step back and say, am I rich? And if we were to define rich by having an excess, having more than we need, most of us would have to say we are. Now, clearly, there's going to be some that are in a desperate situation right now, and I'm certainly not minimizing that. But if we just look at it from that standpoint, do I have more than I absolutely need today? And if so, then I have excess. What do I need to do with it? And I would never presume upon the Lord as to whether he would judge a nation. But what I will say, and I think it's very clear in God's word, is that we will all stand to account. We will have to answer beyond salvation the two questions. First, what did I do with Jesus? Did I accept him as my Lord and my Savior and for the forgiveness of sins by asking him to be the Lord of my life and accepting his free gift? And then secondly, what did I do with what I've been given? I'm then a steward at that point of everything, and that includes my time and my relationships. I'm a steward of God's word, and I'm a steward of the resources that he's entrusted to me, and we will stand to account. So I think it's a question we all need to be asking ourselves. Am I being found faithful with what the Lord's given to me, including the needs of those around me in the immediate circles that I'm in, and to your point, in those in other parts of the world that are living in extreme poverty? and need Jesus desperately. And so we need to answer the question for ourselves, what are we doing to that end? So I think it's a good question, and I think it always needs to cause us to look inward, at least in my view.
Rob, the fact that Jesus said the poor you will have with you always, does that mean something theologically to us, that we should be doing more, or that we should just look the other way because it's the poor are never going to go away? How do you see that statement?
Yeah, well, I think there's no question that they have the heart of God, and widows and orphans, mm-hmm. the poor, the needy. I mean, when we look at God's word, we see clear areas that we should be giving to. We should give to the ministry of God's word, preaching, teaching, and discipleship, the ministry of God's justice, the oppressed, and prisoners, those that need Jesus in that area, and also the ministry of God's mercy, and that would include the poor and those who really are in a desperate situation. So clearly, according to Scripture, we will have those who are in need always, and that's where those who of us who have more than we need should be asking the question, what is my role in reaching out?
We're glad you called today. Thank you very much. St. Petersburg, Florida. Catherine, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, my husband and I have a home that we own, and we have about a little under $40,000 left on our mortgage. And my interest rate right now is a little bit over 4.8%, I believe. And with the mortgage rates dropping, I didn't know if it made sense for us to refinance our mortgage. The way that we planned our finances, we have probably another 3.5, maybe 4 years to pay off our balance. And the only other expense that we think we'll have coming up is my daughter's college tuition.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously that rate is considerably higher than what's available today. I mean, if you got a 10-year mortgage and then you worked out the payment schedule so you could pay beyond what that minimum payment was to sync up the term of the payoff with that same 3 or 4 years, because we wouldn't want to extend that, you could probably drop that rate from 4.6 to probably 2.6 because rates are so low right now, especially on a 10-year mortgage. So would that 2% reduction offset the cost of the refinance? And that would be the question that you would have to look into, given that we've got this short time period. I absolutely wouldn't want you to extend the term beyond that 3 to 4 year payback. The question is simply, what is it going to cost you to refinance? Oftentimes it'll be 1, maybe 2%. So that means, you know, you'd be looking on a $40,000 note. It'd cost you about $800 potentially, maybe a little bit more if you need to get an appraisal. Probably you could get away on that, though, because I imagine you have quite a bit of equity. And so then it would be calculating the total cost of the refinance versus what you're going to save every month in interest, because we're not looking to reduce a monthly payment here. We're just looking to pay this off with less money going to interest. I suspect, even though your rate is considerably higher, it's not going to be worth the hassle because this time period is so compressed. But if you wanted to look into it, that would be the question to ask. Get that good faith estimate, a truth in lending statement, so you know exactly what your costs are going to be. Shop it around, bankrate.com, to find the very best offer, and then look at the actual interest that you'll pay given this extra amount you'd be paying every month to get the 3 to 4 year payback, and see how much you'd actually save once you pay for the cost of the refinance. It's probably going to be negligible. And so for that reason, I'd probably just focus on trying to pay your existing mortgage off as soon as you can.
Catherine, we hope that helps you, and we're glad you called today. Thank you very much. All right, here's our phone number one more time, 800-525-7000. Here's some other information if you'd like to send Rob a brief email to be answered on the air. We try to get to those on a pretty regular basis. The address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. Back with more right after this. Please stick around.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
To be more than conquerors in everything. And I mean, it said every kind of circumstance, every kind of what a who can get behind. Everything you can imagine. We look at famine and we think, well, you know, what's that to us? Whatever we're going through. Separation from a loved one. Miscarriage. I can think of so many things. Any circumstance, any what, no matter who is trying to capitalize on it. We can be more than conquerors. More than. Beyond the conquest. All right, I want you to picture something with me. Because conquest always speaks Joshua language. I want you to picture that Joshua is over here on this side of the Jordan River. He's got all the children of Israel, faithless ones. That generation is now, their carcasses have fallen in the wilderness. And Joshua's here on the edge of the river. God's about to part that river and send Joshua through it. Conquest is when Joshua comes over. In other words, God says, everywhere you step your feet, I'm going to give you that land, but you're going to put your feet on it. So the point of the book of Joshua was not the fight. It was what was beyond the fight. You and I tend to think that what's going on right now that's opposing to us and that's such a challenge and a crisis to us, that it's all about this fight. No, it's not. It's what's beyond the fight. What's at stake here is what is beyond the conquest.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's Quick Word. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Need some help with some basic budgeting questions. Maybe you're struggling a little bit with your debt or making ends meet or wondering what to do with that latest pay raise. Or maybe you're struggling a bit. Maybe you've lost your job or your job has just been put on hold for a while. Well, one of our MoneyWise budget coaches can probably help you. That's what they're called to do. There's no charge, and you can contact one and set up a time to meet with one by phone when you visit our website, moneywiselive.com. MoneyWiseLive.org. Just scroll to the bottom of the page and look for Connect with a Coach. 800-525-7000 to speak with Rob West today. Kent, Ohio. And Daniel, what's on your mind? Hi, Daniel. You with us? Okay. I'm thinking Daniel maybe put us on hold, so we'll try to come back to him. Daniel, one more time. Nope. Okay. Down to Florida. Norma, how are you today?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have just a testimony. 22 years ago, I got cancer. And God does not waste pain. I think God used it to change my heart. I left my job, dedicated my life to orphans, and started a ministry in my own apartment. Without a husband, without a job, without medical insurance. But it doesn't matter. I trusted God. I had $100,000 savings and retirement. I gave it all back to God. That's 22 years ago. And started the ministry for orphans. It's called RestoreAChild.org. Now I have 5,000 children in 10 countries. And I have built 21 schools and homes. And the water, teach them, but mostly teach them about Jesus.
Wow.
So when you give to God, God gives back to you
yes.
a hundredfold.
Wow. Norma, I am so thankful for your testimony today. What an incredible story and journey God has had you on. And, you know, this goes right to what we were talking about at the open of the program today, and that is, why would God entrust us along the way with, in some cases, more than we need? And when you surrendered that to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going to give this back to you and use it for something that's on your heart, and that is the orphans. And then to see what God has done with that, not only in your life, but in all these sweet, precious children all over the world, we can see clearly why God would ever entrust us with more than we need if we're willing to be found faithful and to trust Him and to surrender to Him. Norma, where do you go from here? Where is the Lord leading you as you continue to serve in this way?
You know, I used to work, I'm not young, I'm now 77, but, you know, I've been doing it for 22 years alone in my apartment, but God has blessed us. Now we have a small office here in Florida. But what I want to say is that you were talking about rich people that don't like to give. I don't, you know, maybe some, I have met many millionaires who would not give a penny. But if it were not for the rich, I wouldn't be able to do all this work. The rich who give us 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. A poor person, we appreciate all, even $5, I appreciate it. But the rich people are the ones who really support the work of God, and we can grow and do more for Him and bring more souls to the kingdom. And that's what I do. And I'm because I love
Let me ask you. Let me ask you one more question before we have to hit our next break here. I know you had no job through this when you made this decision. You turned over all of your savings to the Lord as you started this ministry without any health insurance. You had health problems. Norma, was there ever a day where you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from? Or did God provide for you every step of the way?
No, the next meal was okay. However, for the ministry, at the end of some years, I almost had nothing, like maybe $1,000 for how many? For 5,000 kids?
Yeah.
But when I prayed to God, Lord, if you want me to continue, you've got to show me. I need some help. And then within a week or two, I would get 200,000 or 300,000. Can you believe it?
Incredible. Well, thank you for taking the time to call today. What an incredible story. Give us the website of the ministry again for those who might want to learn more.
Yes, please. RestoreAChild.org.
Very good. Thank you for calling today. Lord bless you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Norma. That's quite a testimony. You're listening to Money Wise Live. When we come back, well, we have a full lineup of calls here. We're going to try to get to those just as quickly as we can. And maybe even want to check out this website we just talked about, restoreachild.org. Now, to be real honest with you, we just heard about it when you heard about it. So we don't know a whole lot about the ministry and what they've done. The website looks very interesting, to say the least, so you might want to check that out. Or you might want to give us a call with any questions you have regarding your personal finances, 800-525-7000. And we'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hey, this is Chris Brooks, and I'm so excited to share the Moody Radio Verse of the Week, which is found in Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. That's Philippians 2, 1 and 2, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Here's how one person described the impact of Moody Radio.
It's gotten me to focus on Christ more, starting with reading God's Word, but that also carries over into being a father, being a husband, and also be there for somebody that might be seeking Christ.
Help reach listeners like this with the Word of God.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. As temperatures rise and humidity levels drop in California, the threat of more wildfires increases. A huge forest fire that prompted evacuations north of Los Angeles is still burning and under 15% contained. It's charred over 17 square miles of brush and trees. There is no containment of one blaze that has blackened foothills above the Los Angeles suburb of Azusa. And yet another fire came dangerously close to a neighborhood in Corona. That's east of Los Angeles. The Canada-U.S. border will remain closed to non-essential travel for at least another month. The statement came a day after Mexico announced a similar measure for its border with the United States. These restrictions aimed at controlling the pandemic were first announced back in March and have been renewed monthly. This is SRN News.
Good to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. And today, well, we're remembering that God owns it all and that if He gives us an abundance, well, it might be for a brand new Lamborghini, but it might be for something else. That's between you and God. I haven't gotten my Lamborghini yet, but you never know, Rob. I mean, Kent, Ohio. Hey, Daniel, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am.
Oh. All right, please jump right in, sir.
Well, to make a long story short, I am of retirement age, and I have enough years in at my work, government work, to retire. And I got started kind of late in life saving money. I do have enough money to pay off my house. And I'm wondering if I should pay off my house or pay off, you know, credit cards and all that other stuff and just monthly pay on my house.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel, I appreciate that. Tell me, you said you have enough years that you could retire, but tell me what your plans are at this point. Do you plan to continue to work for some time?
Not very long. I'm talking maybe the end of the year or beginning of next year.
Okay, so you'd plan to retire sometime next year. What do you owe on your home?
40-something.
Okay, let's 40. Call it $50,000. What do you have in other consumer debt?
Just a couple of credit cards and two cars that I'm currently paying on.
All right, what do you owe on the credit cards combined, roughly, and then the cars?
I would say I owed about $8,000 in the credit cards, and my truck is 23, probably about 30, 35 combined with the two cars.
All right. And do you live on a budget, Daniel? Do you have a spending plan that you track monthly?
No, I do not.
Okay. What would you say you think you have left over at the end of the month, if anything, once all the bills are paid, including the car payments and the minimum payments on the credit cards? Do you have anything left over?
Yes. I would say I'd have between, I don't know, 600 and 1,000. It depends on, because I work a lot of overtime, so there's extra money coming in.
All right, last question. Tell me about your savings. First of all, any liquid savings like emergency funds that might be in a savings account, and then tell me the total roughly of all of your longer-term retirement savings.
Liquid, probably only about – probably it's less than $10,000. I know that probably. And what was the other question?
Long-term savings, retirement accounts all together.
Oh, okay. I would say 60,000 maybe.
All right. Very good. And when you retire, are you expecting, other than Social Security, a pension of some kind? Or what are your income sources going to be in retirement next year?
Yes, I will have, I still have my VA as long as I'm breathing, and a pension. From the work, from my job.
Okay. And so when you put Social Security and your pension, your VA benefits all together, you believe you should be able to cover all of your expenses?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, here's the thing. I like the idea of you being debt-free, but I like even more than that the idea that you would be on a budget, that you'd have an emergency reserve of at least 3 to 6 months' expenses, preferably 6 months as you head into retirement. And I like the idea that you would pay off these credit cards and then the cars before the house. So I would just keep paying the minimum on the house right now, and let's start with a budget. If you want help with that, our MoneyWise coaches would be delighted to come alongside you and help get you on a plan where you can track the flow of money coming in and out and capture what you need to be setting aside every month for your non-recurring expenses, those discretionary expenses, plus those things that only come around quarterly or even annually. So you just go to our website, moneywiselive.org, click on Connect with a Coach. Once you have that budget in place, I want you to really focus on getting that those credit cards paid off first with that extra $600 to $1,000 a month. And I'd look for ways to cut back to free that up even more, because if you don't have a budget right now, I guarantee you there's some ways that you could recapture some money you don't even realize you're spending. Once the credit cards are paid off and you have the emergency fund in place, then I would be looking at trying to get those cars paid off after that. As you head into retirement, I'd like for you to be debt-free except for your home, and then you can take any excess that you have, beyond what you need to cover your expenses and perhaps some of that $60,000, and look to accelerate paying off the mortgage, just not right now. So let's do those things first, and if you have questions along the way, don't hesitate to give us a call.
Dan, we're glad you called in today, and we're glad we finally connected. Thank you very much, sir. To Illinois and Mary, give us the high points here. Let's squeeze you in, okay?
Well,
hi, Mary.
I have a lot of money because I've listened to you guys for years and years and years. So thank you for that. I was a single mother with no child support, and things were really hard in those beginning days, but I did what you said. But today, I have $450,000 in a retirement account, and I lost my job recently. They eliminated my position. So I rolled it over from Fidelity into this other company, and they're charging me $4,000 a quarter to manage this money. And, you know, when it was at work, I never saw the fee. It was sort of hidden, I think. I knew there was something. But this seems high to me. I wanted to ask you what you thought.
Yeah. Did you say, just so I can be clear here, Mary, did you say you had $450,000 in investable assets?
Well, it's a total value net investment,
$450,000. Okay. And you say you think you're paying $4,000 a quarter, so you're paying $16,000 a year, is that right?
$16,000 a quarter, yeah. We just turned it over in January, and the first bill I thought was just to manage it and figure it out. Well, now the next one came, so I called the company, and they said, well, that's their fee. So I thought the initial setup was, you know, 4% or whatever, 10%. But now this is what it is. So I'm wondering if I should move all this to something else. Or...
Well, the first thing I would do is just make sure you understand what's going on. Something's not right there. I mean, you would expect to pay on if somebody's doing discretionary management, meaning they're making the buying and selling decisions on a roughly $500,000 portfolio, you would be expecting to pay somewhere around 1%, maybe 1.5%. So 1.5% on $450,000 is less than $7,000 a year. So if you're paying $4,000 a quarter, something's not right. Now, it wouldn't be out of question to think that they may have, you know, and you would know, if they did some significant planning on the front end. There was a kind of a separate planning engagement where they, you know, looked at all of your insurance and looked at your retirement projections and helped you with cash flow and, you know, analyzing everything. There may be a separate financial planning fee, but that would be a one-time thing. Certainly, you wouldn't be thinking about paying $16,000 a year on $450,000. Something's not right. So I would call after the program here today or tomorrow and just say, I need a breakdown of what am I paying and what are my ongoing fees going to be? Everything, all in. And if it's anywhere close to that, beyond 1%, maybe 1.5%, then I would look around. You could interview, I would say, 3 certified Kingdom advisors by going to our website, moneywiselive.org. Find a CKA.
Mary, thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what do you treasure in life? What has your heart? What is it that gives you joy? What do you dream about? What do you pray about? Because whatever fills your prayers is your God. If your prayers are focused on anything but God, you might want to take a God check. The key is to focus on God and not the desires of your heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? By way of contrast, Psalm 37:4 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. All of us have desires, and when they're good for us, God's happy to give them to us to fulfill His purpose in our lives, to seek and save the lost that none should be lost. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Freedom and liberty are great words to describe our citizenship here in this amazing country. But when you feel tangled up on the inside, freedom can seem like an impossible dream. Problems can overwhelm us to the point that we feel like a prisoner, with our mind racing and struggling to find relief. It can get out of control when we turn to drugs, drinking, or anything else to make that pain go away. But that brings even more pain, and freedom becomes more elusive. There is another way. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. You can have true and lasting freedom through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Get rid of the bonds that keep you from peace and freedom. Learn how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and make this your Independence Day. Call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or click over to chataboutjesus.com.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hope you're having a good day wherever you are. Joe, we know you're in Illinois. Dennis, we know that you're in Ohio, and we're coming in your direction, so hang in there with us. But first, we go to Columbia, Tennessee. Hello, Joy. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your program so much.
I know this is an unusual question. It's based on an experience I had yesterday, but I'll give you my bottom line question is, if someone has the first digit of your Social Security number and the state you were born in and your last name, could they do anything with that information that would be intrusive or worrisome?
Yeah. Joy, I wouldn't be terribly concerned about the situation you just described. The first digit of your Social Security number is a number that's not particularly private. I think if you said they had the last four of your social, I'd be a little bit more concerned because those are truly random and unique. The first five numbers actually represent when and where your Social Security card was issued. So I think given the criteria you're describing, especially in the day in which we live, where information is compromised, it seems like every few months we're hearing about another major breach somewhere where personal information was stolen. We just all need to be on guard. And I think the situation you're describing wouldn't raise the concern beyond what we all should have in terms of just being diligent about protecting our personal information. So here's a couple of thoughts on that. Number one is always make sure you keep that information private. You would never want to give out your Social Security number unless it's your employer, perhaps a bank, a lender, or an investment brokerage company or firm that needs it to open an account and needs it for privacy reasons. You would want to make sure that you also don't use your last four of your social as a PIN number. Some people have done that. That's just not a good idea to be using that regularly. I think if you are concerned about somebody compromising your identity and perhaps trying to open accounts fraudulently in your name, you can put a freeze on your credit with the three credit bureaus, which is now, as of last year, completely free to do. You would need to do it with each of the three bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can do it online or you can call them. Basically, that's going to require that you put a PIN number in place. And if anybody wants to access your credit for the purpose of opening a new account, and they don't have that PIN number, then they're not going to be able to access your credit, and that's going to prevent them from opening an account in your name. And then, of course, you always want to monitor all of your active accounts, credit cards, bank statements, investment accounts, just to make sure that all the activity looks good and nobody's compromised your information or used it fraudulently. But I don't think you have any reason for concern beyond just what we should all do to be prudent in this day and age, given the situation you're in.
Joy, you can't be too careful. We're glad you called today. God bless you. Thanks so much. Now to Illinois, WMBI. And Joe, what's your question for Rob West?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have some money invested in what they call a total return bond fund. And what they're going to do is they're doing a reverse stock split, which according to this means the number of shares in the account decreases while the price per share increases. They're going to shareholders receive one share for every four shares. Does that seem, should I worry about that or be concerned? It seems kind of a drastic move.
Yeah. No, it happens more than you might think. A lot of times it's to satisfy a particular stock exchange's minimum share price. They may want to reduce the number of shareholders in both stock splits and reverse splits, just to bring the overall price up. A lot of times when a particular security is trading at too low of a value, it might cause some investors to stay away because it, you know, just seems like it's, perhaps not valuable enough. So there are a variety of reasons why companies will do a reverse split, but, it's very common. You'll obviously have a reduction in the number of shares, but you'll see a commensurate increase in the price of the share, price per share, to give you roughly the same amount. And the idea would be moving forward that, it would hopefully do, the reason they're doing it is for long-term appreciation so that the price of the security actually increases at a faster rate as a result of the reverse split. So that in and of itself is not a cause for concern for me. I would you know, my main issue would just be, is the right that the right investment for you in terms of overall performance, overall risk, and how it fits in to your overall investment strategy? But the reverse stock split itself, for me, is not a particular cause for concern.
Joe, thank you very much. Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Rick. We're going to try to get you in here today before we run out of time. So what's on your mind?
Yes, I worked for a bank for 25 years. I had two parts of retirement, one 401k plan, which is being handled by Fidelity now and funds I like. The other part, it was in a employer-funded pension fund, which they retained. And I'm making very little money on that every year. It's like maybe 1% dividend, maybe that a year. What are my options as far as being able to move that into something that would gain me a little more money towards retirement?
Yeah. With that, is I assume that's a qualified pension. Is that right, where it was tax-deferred going in?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And are you still with the company?
No, actually, I left there 6 years ago. I left my retirement there.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, if it's a qualified employee plan, meaning your contributions were tax deferred and you've separated from the company, the only other reason would be if the employer closed down the plan. But if you've separated from the company, you should be able to do a direct rollover to an IRA. So what you'd want to do, Rick, is decide where you want this these assets to reside, who you want your custodian to be. And that really would be driven by not only is it a reputable company and consideration of the fees, but also how do you want it managed? Is that something you're going to do yourself? Or is that something you want to hire an investment professional to do? If you're doing it yourself, you could go to Vanguard or Schwab or, you know, any number of high quality, low cost investment brokerages, open the IRA and just do the direct rollover into the IRA. If you were going to hire an investment professional, I would wait, do those interviews, make that decision, because often, you will need to use the custodian that particular investment professional uses, and there may be multiple. A lot of times a registered investment advisor, for instance, will able to house accounts at Fidelity and Schwab and a number of other institutions, but they would open that account for you and handle all of the paperwork. So yes, you can roll it out. Yes, you could then have much more control over the investment performance. I think you just need to make some decisions as to how you want it managed and then proceed from there.
Thank you, Rick. We're glad you made it through today. We appreciate that very much. Akron, Ohio. Lori, your question today for Rob West is what?
Well, we try to be really good about tithing, and then, but how much, I guess, can we look at how the tithing, if the church is being a good steward of it? Is it all going toward salaries and benefits? You know, is it normal to have benefits like car allowance, housing allowance?
Yes.
And none to outreach, or should there be benchmarks on certain percentages toward different categories?
Yeah, it's a great question, Lori. I mean, I think clearly we should be, in my view, supporting the work of the local church where God has us. And I think, you know, as we look to the principle of the tithe, we give off of the increase, the first and the best, I would say that would go to the local church and use that to meet the needs of the church. And then we give beyond that as the Lord leads. In terms of how the church uses those funds, oftentimes there's a variety of approaches, but I would hope that first of all, it's a Bible-believing church. Secondly, that there is, you know, some transparency for those who are either regular attenders or members. If you have a membership at your church where there's a quarterly business meeting, you know, typically where annually the budget is shared, at not in detail, but in broad categories, showing what percentage is for the ministries of the church, what percentage is for salaries and outreach and missions and, you know, benevolence and all those kinds of things. Are there guidelines? Sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to give out a certain percentage, you know, that should be going to various categories. But I would say if you have an interest in it, and there's no reason why you shouldn't, I think to, you know, at the appropriate time in the year where budgets are being considered and perhaps while these meetings are going on, oftentimes, and I would hope this is happening here, there will be made available opportunities to talk to those in leadership, often lay leadership or certainly a pastor, to be able to understand and ask questions. And how is the money of the church being used? And what is the debt percentage? And are there, you know, are they actively giving to missions? And what about benevolence? And all the questions that you have, and I would hope there'd be quite a bit of transparency around that. So I think asking those questions is good, leaning into those opportunities that are made available for you to know more and explore further. Is a good thing because God has entrusted these resources to you. You're the steward of them, and certainly giving back to the local church, which I absolutely affirm. So I would lean into that and begin to ask some questions and get to know better what your church is doing.
Lori, thank you very much for your phone call today. We wish you the very best. And with that, Rob, we're going to have to put a bow on it. We are pretty much out of time. Any final words? Obviously, we continue as a nation to struggle a bit. This whole pandemic thing has got people concerned. But as Christians, as people who follow Christ and his word and his promises, any final thoughts for us today?
Well, I would just say, Steve, you know, we started today by talking about having more than we need. And I think for each of us, we have to make sure that we, first of all, are recognizing that God owns it all and that we're a steward. And we need to ask, how does how I'm using my resources that God has entrusted to me, how does that reveal where I've placed my trust? And is it in the right place? Or is my hope in the Lord or in my things? And use that as a barometer to see if we're on the right track.
Thank you, Rob. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our technical crew today doing a fantastic job. That includes Amy, Deb, Gabby T., and Jim Henry. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you have a wonderful weekend. And join us again Monday. We'll be back with a new edition of MoneyWise Live.